Ready for a great service today. I'm pretty pumped to have Pastor Andy here with us. He's from Cullman, Alabama. And to just let you know up front, he is a Roll Tide fan. And so I wanted to kind of get the church ready for what's coming up. That's the first football game of the season, Florida State and Bama. So we figured we'd bring him in to stir up the pot a little bit. But no, they started their church 7 years ago. And they're up in Cullman, just north of Birmingham, and they have three campuses now. And Cynthia and I met him several years ago when we were going through all of our training to plant the church. And he came and spoke that one day, and just something just like clicked. It was just like one of those moments where we said, this guy is going to come speak at our church someday. And that day is today. And I'm excited to have him. I believe that you're going to love him. He's pretty pumped. He's pretty fired up. We fed him well. And so he should preach just fine today. And so I want you to give it up for Pastor Andy Heiss. Come on, show your love for him this morning.
What's up, what's up, what's up? How y'all doing? Everybody good? It's dark over here. Can y'all see me? I'm sitting on shag carpet. I've never stood on shag carpet. That's nice right there. Hey, how many of you love your pastors, Wade and Cynthia, right here? Come on, give it up. You do better than that. Come on now. Listen, you guys are here. Y'all planted 5 years ago, and you aren't here by accident. This man, God gave this man a vision and his wife a vision, and you guys are alongside him to make God's vision come alive. And I believe it's a divine appointment that he planted from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A bunch of Cajuns come to Tallahassee. LSU are the worst fans ever. Can we just gang up on him today? Florida State, Alabama, we together. LSU, craziest fans ever. And I'm just kidding. I told him I was going to help out with Florida State stuff. But anyway, how many of you Florida State fans? Throw your hands up. Listen, I'm hoping and praying that on September 2nd, God's team wins. Okay? All right, Roll Tide in Jesus' name. I'm just kidding. Listen, y'all are blessed to have some incredible pastors. Really, I got to hang out with them last night, probably for the first time ever. And so we went to Jonah's Fish and Grits. You ever been to Jonah's Fish and Grits? What is up with that? Listen, I gained 12 pounds last. I got hit in the belly with a bag of nickels right here. My muffin top flopped over a little bit more like a Smurf house. Listen, we are blessed. Y'all are blessed. I am blessed. Me and my wife are blessed to have met them last night. And they're going to be lifelong friends, and you guys are blessed to have them as your pastors. And I really believe God's going to do something with this church in Tallahassee. There's a reason why it's called Emerge, and God's going to use it in large, large ways. And listen, I'm hoping and praying that I can come in and help just a little bit, kind of fire some people up to get moving, and have a better concept, a better understanding of the church, all right? Not just Emerge Church, I'm talking about God's church, His church, okay? You know, I think I'll start off with a question, and the question is, are you passionate about your church? Are you passionate about church, period? Are you passionate about the local church? Because I personally believe that the local church is the hope of the world when it's done right, when people buy in to the local church. Here's the reason why. It's because the church is the bride of Christ. The church is not God. It's not man's idea. God, man didn't create the church. The church is God's idea. It was His plan. He is the one that designed, created, came up with the idea of the church. And so the church is not man-made. It is something that God came up with. And so because it's not man-made and it's God's idea, the scripture says that we are the body of Christ. That the church, that we, us, Emerge Church is just one. My church is called Desperation Church. We are the representation of Christ. And so when Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 2, he had already told Peter that, hey, basically, now people disagree with this kind of stuff, but I believe that Jesus was saying, I am the cornerstone of the church. I'm the foundation of the church. The Bible says that basically when Jesus ascended into heaven, that basically he started the church. He handed the baton to us. And he says, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to share the good news in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world, the ends of the earth. He's called all of us to be a part. So he handed the baton down to us. And he's saying, now I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He's going to teach you every single day. When you give your life to me, the Holy Spirit's going to be a part of your life. He's going to teach you every day to be more like me. And so we, as the body of Christ, we should carry the character of Jesus. We are the representation of Christ in a dark world. The body, the church. And you know, there's a lot of people that says things like, well, you know, I don't really have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, listen, I understand. How many of you heard that before? Throw your hands up. I've heard that. Probably some of you throw your hands up, probably say that on a regular basis. I'm glad you're here today. God brought you here to hear a message. Listen, but if you're passionate about Jesus, you're going to be passionate about his bride. If you're passionate about Jesus, you're going to be passionate about his church. The church is God's idea to reach the nations. Listen, we can do a lot as individuals. And yes, God has called you as a Christian to go out in your area of the world to be a missionary in your job place where you do your working out, where you do your grocery shopping on aisle 9 in Walmart and the pork and beans aisle. You still be Jesus everywhere you go. But we can do a whole lot more together than we can as individuals. But it takes everybody buying into what God's called us to do. And what I'm learning is more, I live out this pastoring thing, is that a lot of people really aren't bought into God's idea. People aren't bought into the church. You know, there's a lot of people that will say, well, I've been hurt by the church. You know, one thing I've learned, you know, we've planted for 7 years, and I would step out and say the majority of our church are people who are de-churched. When I say de-churched, they are people who used to go to church, who got hurt by church, and left church, and then they came back. Because really, they realize that, man, I'm still missing something. I need church. So there's a great possibility. There's a lot of people in this room who are de-churched. And you happen to come back and say, hey, I heard this new church is coming into town. And I heard it's kind of cool. It's different. They wear blue jeans. And some people wear like tennis shoes and hats. You don't have to dress up. I think I'm going to try it out. And so you've tried it out and you kind of stuck. But to be honest with you, because you've been hurt so bad by other churches, you're scared to death to get plugged into church. Because you're scared you're going to get hurt again. Now, the first thing I would say really, really quick is you've got to forgive the church that hurt you to begin with. Now, some of you are like, and you have no clue what those people did to me. I don't. You are 100% right. But you still got to forgive them, because if you don't, let's just say if the pastor hurt you at that other church, then Pastor Way here has no chance with you, because you're already coming in with a critical eye if you don't forgive that other guy. If the deacons of that church or elders of that church or leaders of that church hurt you, the elders, the deacons, and the leadership of this church have no hope if you don't forgive those people there, because you're coming in already with a critical eye looking at them. If a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader hurts you at the other church, your small group leader here will not have a chance until you forgive that person over there. See, here's the big picture. Whenever people in church, listen, I will agree with you. All right? Outside of middle school students, church people are the meanest people on earth. All right? 100%. Most church people, listen, how many of y'all agree? Like, I've met some really mean church people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, some of y'all are too scared to raise your hand because the one sitting beside you that's just as mean as anybody. All right? Not this church. I'm just talking about in general. Some of the meanest people I've ever met go to church. They're self-righteous. They're judgmental. You ask any waiter or waitress when you leave church today and ask them what's the worst day to work, just about 99.9% of them will tell you Sundays, because they don't like dealing with church people. So I will agree with you. Church people can be mean, but it gives you an opportunity to be like Jesus and forgive and show mercy. Because didn't Jesus forgive and show mercy with you? And so if Jesus did that once, then we do it with them. And then we take on his idea, we take on his creation of the church, and we move it. We take on his character inside the body and let God use us in large, large ways for his church. So, are you passionate about church? How do you think? What is your thought process of church? Is it something that you just do because we live in the Bible Belt? Listen, Coleman, Alabama is the prong of the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Right? I mean, we are in the deep, deep Bible Belt. And it's amazing the thought process that people have with church. You know, there's two different ways that people think about church. And the majority of them is the first one I'm going to say here. A lot of people go looking for a church, and their thought process is, what can this church do for me? Or what can this church do for me and my family? When in reality, it should be, what can I do for this church? And what can me and my family do for this church? Because the church isn't to serve you. The church is about serving others. And when you go into the mindset of what can this church do for me, you're immediately going into it with a selfish mindset because, to be honest with you, it's not going to meet all your needs. The only way you meet your needs in the area of the church is when you give your life away to God's creation. When you give your life away in life, just general, listen, God wired you and me. He wired us to only be satisfied when we give our lives away. That's why the American dream does not work for people to make them happy. Even though the world is screaming like, the American dream will make you happy. And no, it won't, all right? That's why Prozac is out the roof with people. Antidepressants are out the roof with people. That's why Alabama is the number one stressed out state in the nation. Did you know that? It's because of the Crimson Tide. They're all worried to death they're going to lose. Listen. And they can't stand Auburn fans. Here's the deal. You've got to know and you've got to understand that the American dream is not what satisfies. It goes completely opposite of that. It goes to giving your life away. And that's what God's called us to do inside the church. You know what I hear on a regular basis? I hear people say, this would kind of help you out with a selfish mindset. If this is you, if you're saying this here or if you've said this before, if your thought process has been, well, you know, bless God, I'm just not getting fed over there at that church. I'm just not getting fed. Listen, if you have made that comment, I'm just going to go ahead and say this because I'm going back to Coleman today and y'all can send the emails to Wade. Listen, babies are the one who need to be fed. Grown-ups get up and make themselves a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? It's a selfish mindset. The mindset is, what can I do with my life in this church? How can I make this church better? How can I take ownership of this church? How can I take ownership of the vision that God has given my pastor? And I can help come alongside him and let's go and take on the world for Jesus through Emerge Church in Tallahassee, Florida. I drove all through your town the last couple of days. It's a really cool place. But there are a lot of people in this city that are more than likely unchurched that God has called you to reach. Y'all going to outgrow this lunchroom whenever we buy in to what God's called us to, and you're going to have to move somewhere else. And then you're going to have to build a building, and then you're going to reach more people for Jesus in Tallahassee and the nations because you've bought into God's design. Let me give it to you another way. The only things that we are passionate about are things that we invest in. The only things we're passionate about are the things we invest in. For instance, listen, if you're here and you have money in stocks, you're probably checking your stocks every day, every hour. Why? Because you're investing your money in something that you're passionate about. If you're passionate about your marriage, or if you're not passionate, but if you're not passionate about your marriage, there's a great possibility it means that you've stopped investing in it. Listen, you're only passionate about that which you invest in. For instance, if I was to go and rent a car today to drive back to Alabama, listen, I'm going to get in that minivan and I'm going to screech the wheels all the way out of the parking lot, baby, because it ain't mine. Now listen, if one of you crazy Florida State fans, because I'm an Alabama fan, go out there and key my truck that I got sitting outside there, I'm going to be really ticked off because that's my truck. But a rental car is not mine. So you know what? I'm going to take my McDonald's and I'm going to throw it in the back. And I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let somebody else clean it out because that ain't mine. Listen, me and my family, I was blessed to be able to bring my family with me. We were just in Destin for vacation. We just drove over here from Destin. And we were staying in a rental house there. And we had a golf cart, like a really souped up, really cool, nice 9-seater. Actually, I think it was 6-seater, but we made it a 9-seater. Like golf cart. And so, listen, y'all know how crazy Destin is. It's packed. I mean, there are people everywhere. And so we're going through our little community and our golf cart and stuff. So one day we're going to the beach, 8 of us sitting in this golf cart, and we pull across the median into traffic, and we're sitting there waiting to go with the flow of traffic. Another guy comes across, and he's not even looking. I really think he was texting, all right? But he said he was looking to the right. Dude didn't stop and just mowed. He had a big red truck, just mowed our golf cart. And look, there's tires flying everywhere. And I'll be honest with you, the only thing that screamed is the couple that went with us. The lady was driving, and her horn was her screaming, like, "Wah!" You know, and the dude heard her and just like slammed the brakes on. If it wasn't for him slamming the brakes on, I don't even know if I'd be here today. But the big picture is it just destroyed the golf cart. I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh my God, that golf cart looks horrible. But I wasn't upset. I wasn't mad because you know what? It wasn't my golf cart. It was the owners of the place that we're staying at's golf cart. It didn't bother me a lick. I was like, they going to pay for it. I feel sorry for those guys. Let me give them a buzz. Let me let them know what's going on. But the big picture is it didn't bother me. Why? Because it wasn't mine. You're only passionate about which that in which you invest in. And that's it. Listen, if you're not passionate about the things of God, then there's a great possibility that you've quit investing. Now listen, that's one of those things where you have to take, you know, allow God to take his divine flashlight, go into the depths of your soul, and just show you you. Because honestly, only you can come up with honestly the answer of, am I really passionate about the things of God? Because honestly, if you're not passionate about the things of God, there's a great possibility you quit investing. Some of you are just sitting around waiting for God to spark something, but a relationship is a two-way street. God's already sparked it. He sparked it through Jesus. He's just waiting for you to come and be a part of his life. Listen. If you're not passionate about the things of God, if you're not passionate about his church, it means you're probably not investing in it. If you're not passionate about the church, it means you're probably not investing in it. And you're probably not serving on a team. Great possibility you're not tithing. Great possibility you're not in a small group. And honestly, the only way that you're ever going to be passionate about God's design, God's church, is when you invest in it. Listen, if you're not very passionate about getting up in the morning, the only reason why you come is because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday mornings. Then you're missing out on what church. I'll be honest with you. You might as well just stay home. I hope you're all right with me saying that way. Because you're wasting your time, not unless you come for the purpose of, man, I want to take God's creation and I want to add to it. I don't want to waste my life on this earth, and I want to use what God's done with the body that I'm a part of, and I want to serve, I want to give my life away, and I want to be a part of other people's lives inside the church. I don't want them to be a part of my life. It's large. It's massive. The people who are most passionate about Emerge Church are the ones who are investing. They've taken ownership. They're the ones that are plugged in. They're the ones that's picking up garbage out in the parking lot. They're the ones that's making sure that guests are taken care of. Why? Because they're passionate about the church. And not only are they passionate about the church, they're passionate about God, and they're passionate about the kingdom of God, and they're passionate about making heaven bigger, and they're passionate about eternity, something that is larger than the world that we live in now. They're passionate people. Why? Because they're investing their lives. Listen, we're only passionate about that which cost us something. You're only passionate about that which costs you something. If you're not passionate about it, it means that it's not costing you anything. Think about the things that you're passionate about. It costs you something. Listen, things that you're passionate about will always cost your time, your treasure, and your talent. And I would ask you, how much of your time, your treasure, and your talent are you giving to something that matters more than anything else in this world? God's designed the church. Because honestly, that's biblical. We do it together. We change the world together. It's large, it's huge, it's massive. Listen, what else is there in this world? What else is greater to invest your time, talent, and treasure in than the church? See, if your thought process, if you're coming up with all these reasons why you can't invest in the church, then you've got a really bad misunderstanding of the body of Christ. And there's a great possibility you've been hurt, and I'm not trying to make light of that. But there's a place where God wants to use you inside the body, and you're going to have to ask God to give you the strength to forgive. You got to. Because God wants to use you here. Listen, that parking lot out there should be filled up with guys and girls, waving people in with smiles on their face. You're the first contact. You're the first contact for people to see for Emerge Church. People in the parking lot, in my opinion, have got one of the most important jobs in the church. Why? Because most people who pull into a parking lot within 5 minutes know if they're coming back or not to this church. And so the way we deal with people in the parking lot and the way we deal with people at the front door is just as important as what Pastor Wade does right up here. Because here's the big picture. A lot of people put all the emphasis on the pastor, but to be honest with you, he's just working in his gifts. He's just living out the calling that God's given him. God's given you a calling inside the body of Christ too. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of guests that drive up and park in that parking lot out there that are scared to slap to death to get out of their car because they've never been to a church like this. And they have no clue what they're walking. Man, is this a cult? Are they going to handle snakes? Are they going to put a snake on me? And what they got going on in there? They're scared to death. But when they see you smiling and waving at them and then hand them a snake when they come in, they're good. I'm just kidding. When they see you smiling and waving and welcome them in, when that person gives their life to Jesus Christ, the people working in, look, there's people in your nursery right now who are changing stinking, your kids. Listen, it's something different when it's your own kids stinking dirty diapers, but when it's your kids' booty smells worse than my kid. And they back here serving while mamas and daddies are here getting saved. See, they're just as important as Pastor Wade standing up here speaking. The people in the parking lot are just as important. Hey, how in the world do you think they got these curtains right here? And the chair you sit in, and the microphone I'm speaking from, and the TVs that you read the words from. It comes from people who have given their treasure to this church because they want to reach people for the kingdom of God. They've tithed. It's important. Bless God, all them churches wants my money. Well, so does Walmart, and you still go there? Walmart ain't changing the world. They're making it worse. That place is hell. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look, my wife, I can't go get milk in Walmart in Coleman because I'm going to have about 9 counsel appointments as I go through. Like, we're going to be praying for people on aisle 9 in the pork and beans aisle. The thing about it is this, is there's no greater avenue to reach the nations than through the body of Christ. And you're a part of one. And the question is, are you passionate about it? And if not, why? Why aren't you in a small group? I'm getting to some scripture. Some of y'all are like, is he going to get to scripture, bless God? I'm getting there right now. Listen, look what. So when we give our lives away in church, it leaves a legacy for eternity. And honestly, our lives are way too short. Our lives are way too short not to do something productive with our lives. And I'm not talking about, you know, creating a big bank account. I'm talking about leaving it behind. We had a guy, an old country boy. All right, there's a lot of those in Coleman, Alabama. He's actually from Jasper. He wanted to stay anonymous, but he gave us 17 acres on the interstate. It's like, yeah, you talking about turning flips and stuff with no clothes on. I want to do it. But anyway, listen, I was fired up. That was just gross. I shouldn't have said that. Listen, I was fired up. You know what that guy in tears, old Bubba, just he works on big diesel trucks from coal mines and stuff. He had 17 acres he gave to us. He's weeping. You know what he said? He said, this is my legacy. When I die, there's going to be a church on this land. And I'm leaving it behind. And it'll be something that lasts for eternity. And God's called you to do the same thing. God's called you to do the same thing. Listen, what are you leaving behind? So what should the church look like, and who should it reach? You know, when we were planting Desperation Church, I remember having our launch teams. A lot of you guys were probably part of a launch team here for Emerge Church. You know, I remember telling our team on a regular basis, I was like, if Jesus was to come and plant a church in the 21st century, in our day, in our time, I want our church to look like what Jesus would plant. Look, I'm not talking about externally. I'm not talking about, you know, a lot of people will say, well, he would plant it with the King James Version and he would plant it with some hymns. What? Maybe. I don't know how he would plant it. You know, maybe he would plan it with fog machines and lights. And maybe Jesus would wear skinny jeans. Y'all like, heck no, there ain't no way he's doing that. Okay, we'll see. Listen. But the thing about it is I'm talking about the heartbeat. I'm not talking about the aesthetics. I'm talking about the heartbeat. I want us to carry the heartbeat of Jesus at Desperation Church. I want the heartbeat of who he was. And so I started praying and asking God, God, what was your heartbeat? When you came to this earth, if you was to come today, what would your heartbeat be? And God gave me Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, and he showed me what his heartbeat was when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and that we, as the body of Christ, can still carry this heartbeat. So who does the church go after? So Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 has become our, the Desperation Church, has become our motto. That's what we live by. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, Isaiah is given a prophetic word about Jesus. If you look in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, you basically see Jesus take the scroll of Isaiah and he's standing in the temple and he reads it to all the religious leaders there. And they're like gasping, like, oh, I can't believe you're calling yourself the Son of God. And Jesus was the Son of God. He basically reads Isaiah 61. And he basically says, hey, the prophetic word that Isaiah said has come true. I am the one he was talking about. This is what it says in Isaiah 61. Let me read verse 1 and then I'll read the rest of it. All right, and I'm gonna kind of read it and stop. So who would Jesus come after? This is what I think. Isaiah 61, 1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Well, if we take this text and let's just break it down. Who did Jesus come after? What is the heartbeat of Christ? What would be the heartbeat of Jesus inside Emerge Church? I think it should be this heartbeat. I think it should look like what Jesus came at. Why did Jesus come? This is why Jesus came. Well, the first thing we see that Jesus came because God wants us to bring the good news to the poor. What's the good news? The good news is the gospel. The good news is that Jesus paid the penalty of our sin, took on the wrath of God for us, and was raised from the dead and is alive and he is well today. August the 6th, 2017, Jesus Christ is alive and he is well today with your best interest out and the interest of Tallahassee. He's passionate about reaching the people outside these four walls. How does he want to reach those people? With people just like you and me. So he wants us to bring good news. You know what that means? We don't sit and wait for him to come to us. That means we go out and live out Jesus. We're a light in a dark world every single day of our individual lives. And then we, as the body of Christ, go out and live Jesus out on a regular basis. We bring good news to them. You could do it with the words that you speak, or you could do it with the life that you live and the way that you love. You could carry the nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's attractive to people. That's a whole nother message in and of itself. Listen, the gospel, the good news, is a change agent. It changes people's lives. You know, one thing I've learned in Coleman, Alabama, I don't know if this is what it's like in Tallahassee, great possibility, because we're still in the Bible Belt a little bit right here in Tallahassee. But in Coleman, it's not really the good news. What I'm learning is that most of the people that's been in church all their life really believe that God's against them and not for them. But the Bible tells me in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ comes to give what? Abundant life. And most people don't walk in abundant life. One thing that I've learned is that there's a lot of people outside the four walls. The reason why they don't come to church is because they've been in church and they miss Jesus in church. I wish I had time to tell you a story about what God revealed to me in Coleman. I think I will. I saw a guy walking down the street in Coleman. I was sitting at the post office, and he looked miserable. And I was talking to Jesus, and I said, God, how do I reach people like him? I want to reach him. People like him. And God said, Andy, he's been to church, but the church misrepresented me. He said, he don't want to go to church, but he needs me, and you give them me. You give them Jesus. What is Jesus? He is good news. You know what I've learned? Even in my own personal life, because I've been taught wrong for so long about the gospel, about the good news. It's good news. It's good. Everybody say good.
Good.
News. Come on. Okay, that was weaker than pond water. Listen, it's good news. Why is it good news? It's amazing how many people after salvation walk in more guilt, shame, and condemnation than they did before they was in before they gave their life to Christ. Can I tell you what? You're not. That's not good news. You've misunderstood the gospel. You've misunderstood the beauty of the grace of God. You've missed it. The good news sets us free not only from sin, but from the guilt and shame and condemnation that is produced from sin. And it's amazing how many people won't come into church because they're scared slapped to death that they're going to have more condemnation heaped upon them, and they don't need no more. They got all they want right now. When in reality, we should be relieving them because we're here to minister to them, give them life. It's a change when people really tap into the cross, the burial, and the beauty of the resurrection. Listen, Jesus rising from the grave. I sure hope my English is right in that. When Jesus rose from the grave, it reveals that he's for his people. If not, he'd still be in the grave today. But because Jesus rose from the grave, he wants to give his people hope. He wants to give people hope. For God so loved what? The world. He wants to give the people outside these four walls hope. How does he do that? He wants to use the church. The baton's been handed to us to go out and bring the good news. That's the heartbeat. That should be the heartbeat of the church. Now, listen. There's a lot of people that will say, the church isn't really for lost people. It's for believers. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Well, when I read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45, it says that the church had gathered together and that God was adding to their number daily. Number one. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take a shot in the dark with this. How many of you in this room gave your life to Christ inside a church? Throw your hands up. Come on. I would step out and say that's probably 75% of the church. If it's not for lost people, then how did you get saved inside the church? If the church is the representation of Christ, then this is what Jesus says. This is what the Bible says about Jesus in Luke chapter 19. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. So if we are to represent Christ as the bride of Christ, we are to take on his nature. He was passionate about lost people. Shouldn't we be passionate about lost people too? And yes, we could share Christ with them out there outside these four walls, but guess what? I know for a fact Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia are going to be sharing the gospel every single week here. Bring them to the body and let people love on them and show them what true love looks like and let them hear the gospel. I mean, that's one way to do it. Hello? Aliens just landed on top of Gilcrest Elementary. Listen, Luke chapter 15. This verse has messed me up. This is before Jesus goes into the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. Which in other words, he's just talking about in those three parables the same thing that Jesus goes after the one. He's passionate about the lost. The first two verses of chapter 15, a lot of people don't talk about, but it has messed me up. And I'm going to tell you why. And I want it to mess you up a little bit. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. You could look at other translations and it says they were drawn near to Jesus. Notorious sinners were drawn to Jesus. Then it goes on to say, this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Dear Lord Jesus, do we not have that today, by the way? Side note. It's amazing whenever churches are reaching people, how the religious people are killing the churches that are reaching people. You can always tell a Jesus church because the religious people are slaughtering a church that's seeing people saved and baptized and people are radically being changed. They're the ones that's usually being called a cult. It might not happen in Tallahassee, but it happens in Coleman every day. We get called a cult every day. But that's not what messed me up. Here's what messed me up. That sinners, notorious sinners, were being drawn to Jesus. What messed me up is that the church is to represent Christ. We're to look like Christ. We're to carry the nature and the fruit of the Spirit and the characteristics of Christ, but yet sinners run from us. Why is that? The number one place people who have the worst regrets and the worst sin, the number one place they should find safety and a refuge and people that will love them should be the church. But yet in the church, we shoot our own wounded. We hurt each other. There's no safe places here. Ain't no, people inside church are scared slapped to death to share their deepest, darkest struggles with other people because they're scared to death. It's going to be spread all over the church. Are they going to have to come before the church and testify? Jesus was safe. These people saw him as safe. He was also dangerous. That's a whole nother message. But he was safe. And something's wrong. This messes me up. There's something wrong when we are to be in the 21st century, we're to be the hands and feet of Christ. We are to carry the heartbeat of Christ. We are the representation of Christ. But yet, sinners run from us. They'll go to the bars, put their tear in a beer, and talk to the bartender behind the bar looking for answers, and they're just getting more bad answers. Whenever we have the answer, his name's Jesus. People running from us. Something wrong. There's something, let that sink in a little bit. They were drawn to Jesus. We're to represent Jesus, but yet people are running from us, but they were coming to him. Tear it up, Big Daddy. You got a good voice, boy. I think that's my time. It's time to be done, buddy. Let's go. Let me blow through the next ones. If the church is to represent Christ, then we should be reaching the lost, okay? That's just... I really believe that. But yet we should be taking care of other believers. I mean, Hebrews 10:25 says that we should want to be a part of the body so we can spur one another on. In other words, encourage each other. Why? Because we live in a world where we're persecuted on a regular basis and we're really living out Jesus. And we need to be around the body of Christ to encourage each other, to love each other. Listen, comfort the brokenhearted. It says he came to comfort the brokenhearted. John 16:33 says that in this world, we will have many trials and tribulations, that this world produces a lot of brokenness for people outside these four walls. And there's a lot of people in this room right now who are broken. Can I go ahead and throw this out there to you? If you are in this room right now and you have got brokenness taking place in your life, you've got storms, you've got trials, you've got tribulations, because the Bible says in John 16:33 that in this world will be many trials and tribulations, not some, not a few, but many. Jesus says, but I've overcome the world. In other words, I've walked through everything you've gone through, and I know exactly what you're going through, and I want to meet you where you are. And if you're here today and you're broken, then guess what? You're in a good place because Jesus is coming after you. What does he want? He wants to comfort you. But you know how he comforts people a lot of times? Yes, he does it with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, but he also does it with the Holy Spirit through people to love on you. That's why it's vital. That's why it's so vital that you get in a small group. An e-group, whatever y'all call them. E-groups. It's vital that you get in those. Why? So you can build relationships with people. There's a lot of people in this room right here that probably will not get in an e-group or a small group because you've been hurt by other people and you've got this fortress built around your heart with no walls, there's no doors, and there's nobody getting in. But honestly, there are people that have hurt you, but there's also a lot of people that can help you. And yes, you're protecting yourself from the people that hurt you, but you are missing out on the people that will really love you. Because they are. They're there. You just got to find them. You got to find them. And you ain't going to find them isolating yourself, sitting at the house watching Fox News or CNN, wherever you are, in your political stance. Or MSNBC. Anyway, listen. I shouldn't have said that. Y'all just tuned me out right there in Jesus' name. Listen. But you can't isolate yourself at the house and miss out on people who could be your best friend. Your best friends in your life are sitting in this room right here and you don't even know it. Your safe place and your refuge is in this room and you don't even know them. And the reason why you don't know them is because you're sitting at the on the couch at the house, scared to death to get outside the house because you're worried that somebody's going to hurt you. And guess what? People will hurt you. But there are going to be more people that love you. And you got to give them a chance. So how do we comfort the brokenhearted? We meet them where they are. We become a safe place. We don't gossip. We don't talk behind their backs about the things that they share with us. We're lock and key, and we're there to help people walk through struggles in life because you're going to need it one day, and they need it. And you need to be somebody that helps people with struggles, and you need to give your struggles to other people. We can't carry the load on our own. That's what e-groups do. That's what small groups do. When you're passionate about the church, you want to be around the body, not only just on Sundays, throughout the week also. Bible says that that Jesus came to set the captives free, to release the prisoners from darkness. Listen, we have the keys to unlock the chains of bondage in people's lives. There's people in this room that are in bondage, but there is a whole lot of people outside these four walls that are in bondage that are searching for answers, that ask questions on a regular basis of, my God, there's got to be more to life than this. And they're searching. And they said they've tried the church thing, but church isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer. Whenever a church is filled with Jesus, then the church is the answer because it's Jesus-focused, not self-righteous focused. And so we have the answer. For those who are in chains, for those who are in prison, who've been taken captive, we got the answer. We got to be doing everything we can to help people discover the beauty of Jesus. These people are taken captive. I think we need to do everything we can to help people get set free. And you know how you do that? You love sinners. How many have sinned in their life before? Throw your hands up. All right, if you didn't raise your hand, then you just sinned. You lied. So you just join the rest of us. As much as you've done things you shouldn't have done, you had mercy and grace placed upon you. In the same way that Jesus placed his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness on us, we should place it on others. We should meet them where they are and help them get set free. You help them discover the one that helped you. See, all of us have been in a trap some way, form, or fashion. And the only one that got us out of the perfect storm, the only one that got us out of the trap, the only one that could release us was Jesus. And Jesus came and opened up the trap, pulled us out, and rescued us. That's why he's called Savior. And God wants to use you to do that too. And you do that when you're passionate about his church. You do that then. Isaiah 61, 2 through 4 says this: he has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted in his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repair cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. You know, the Bible says that those who mourn, he will give beauty for ashes. Those who have a contrite spirit, those who are broken. Listen, all of this could be a series, by the way. I'm trying to put it all in one. I preached on regrets last week at our church, so this is kind of fresh for me. You know, God can take your deepest regrets and your biggest mistakes, and he can use them as your greatest platform to make Jesus famous. He could take, for the ones that are haunted and tormented by the things that you've done in your past, listen, if you don't let your past die, you'll never live in the future. Your future will never live. And here's the big picture. God could take what you've done, and honestly, when you repent and you turn from it, and you take it and lay it at the feet of Christ, he can take what was meant for ashes to destroy you. He can make it absolutely beautiful. All the broken places in your life that's taken place throughout your life, he can take and make a mosaic out of it, something beautiful. And here's the big picture. God wants to use you in large ways. And there's a lot of people that's like, well, God can't use me. No, I don't serve in the church because, man, I've done way too much. Who told you that? What's the point of the cross? If that's true, then me and Pastor Wade, and none of us have any right of being here. I talk to people all the time who say things like, man, I've just done way too much to be able to serve. I mean, I've got too much in my life that I've done that God can't use me. What? The dude that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul, murdered Christians. He killed them and enjoyed it. I'm going to step out and say, I don't know what you've done, but you probably ain't been murdering Christians lately. And if you have, and that's your passion today, in Jesus' name, stay seated. Keep your gun in your pocket. Listen, if God can take a man like Paul and use him to write 2/3 of the New Testament, which is still changing people's lives today, he can use your screw-ups and make them beautiful. To all who mourn, to all who have a contrite spirit, to all who are broken over their sin, to all those who realize I have done wrong and God, I'm coming with you with it. God, take it and use me for your glory. That's why it's called good news. That's why it's called good news. Listen, there's a lot of people outside these four walls also that God wants to take their life. And you have the answer. You can reach them. And he wants to take their ashes and make them beautiful. And they don't even know it. But you do, because you've seen what he's done in your life. He's changed your life. It says, in their righteousness, they'll be like great oaks the Lord has planted for his glory. Who? Who are the righteous oaks? Who are the ones that are like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory? Listen, God wants to take all the brokenhearted prisoners who have ashes. The ones who've been taken captive by sin. The ones who've been taken captive by the enemy. He wants to set them free so that he can plant them in places to grow up in his righteousness and make that place a haven for his glory. He wants to make it a place that he can use you for your glory. For his glory, I mean. See, everybody in this room is planted somewhere. I don't know what job you have, but you planted there. I think everybody, listen, missionaries aren't people that you just send over to other countries in the middle of a tribe where nobody knows, you know, where this tribe's at. That's not, everybody who is a believer is a missionary. Everybody's got their own mission field. Tallahassee is Emerge Church mission field, but you have your own individual mission field. Well, you planted, God planted you there. From being broken, he restored you. From being taken captive by sin, he set you free. From being a prisoner, he unlocked the prison gates. From the ashes that's taken place in your life, he made you beautiful. You have the answer to good news. You have the answer to guilt, shame, and condemnation. God has planted you where you are today. Even if you hate your job with a passion, God has got you there for a reason. It's to make his name famous and to grow strong in his righteousness. Why? To not waste your life on this earth, the one little short life you got, and to make his name famous. Because really the only thing that matters on this earth is what you leave behind with Jesus. Eternity. That's it. Listen, Emerge Church has been planted right here in Tallahassee, Florida. God knew before the beginning of time that Emerge Church would be here at this day, at this time, for the purpose of being Jesus to the people in this community and in the city, and to be a safe place, a refuge for those who need Jesus. I think the question I would ask you, I started it out with this, I'm going to end it with this. What are you doing with God's church? What are you doing with the gifts that God's given you? What are you doing with the treasure that God's given you? What are you doing with the talent that God's given you? What are you doing with the time that God's given you? What are you doing with it? Because if you're doing anything outside of using it for the kingdom of God, it's a waste. You were planted here. You're planted. So funny, we call it church planting. Emerge was planted here to do things in Tallahassee. Listen, it goes on to say, the last thing it says, to be rebuild, revive, and restore. So what are you rebuilding, reviving, restoring? You're rebuilding, reviving, and restoring marriages, churches, lives, cities, communities, nations. You can truly only rebuild, revive, and restore whenever you buy into God's design of the church. You can make a greater impact together than you can by yourself. Emerge Church can make a greater impact in this community together than it can by Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia doing it by themselves. You need each other. You're wired different. God wants to take all your gifts and use it for His glory. Listen, you rebuild, revive, and restore when you're passionate about the church, so much so that you invest in it and you take ownership of it. Not a member. A membership is like a country club. We take ownership. This is my church. When there's no toilet paper in the bathroom, I'm going to go find the toilet paper and put it on there because we got some guests in here who might need to use a potty. I'm going to help out. Oh, we got paper out in the parking lot. This is my church. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to make this place look as good as it can. Oh, we've got guests in the house today. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure they have an incredible, pleasant, Jesus-loving visit in this place. Do whatever it takes. So are you passionate about God's church? Are you passionate about God's church? Listen, you've got the capability. You're 7 years old, 5 years old, or 7 years old. Y'all are 5 years old. Y'all are just preschool, or no, you're in kindergarten. Right, you're toddlers. You got a chance now to set the precedence of what's to come. And the way you start is the way this church finishes when Jesus comes back. The way it started. And so there's a place where you have to buy in to who God's called you to be inside the body of Christ because this is His design. And God wants to use you. What are you doing inside the body? And then what are you doing outside? One shot. Use it. Use it for His glory. Make His name famous. Let Emerge Church. You got one shot. Do something together. Be a part of a movement. Listen, I don't want to do regular church. I don't want to be mundane in church or content in church. I want to be a part of a church that's in the river. Listen, Emerge Church, you know what you need to do? You don't need to be like hanging off the edges of the river of God and kind of sticking your toes in it, just kind of feeling around like, I wonder if it feels good in there. I don't know. What you need to be doing is you need to get on the backside of the cliff and you need to run as hard as you can and you need to do a cannonball into the river of God and let it take you places you've never gone before. You 100%, you need to get in. God's doing something. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. That's what you're dreaming of anyway. That's what you want anyway. Be a part of something that's bigger than you. The church is bigger than you. And it needs you. Dive in. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for all that you've done. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, number one, if there's somebody here that's never given their life to Jesus Christ, that today they'd give their life to you for the first time. And then number two, God, I pray that Emerge Church would be so passionate about the kingdom of God and about His bride, about the church, that God, they would give their talents, their treasure, and their time, their gifts, God, to the body that they're a part of. They take ownership, that God, you'd use them for your glory. And they'd follow out the vision that God, you've given Pastor Wade. Pastor Cynthia, in this church, God, that God, you'd move in large ways. If you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, you say, Andy, I'll be honest with you, man. I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I've never given my life to Christ. I mean, I can't do things in His church because I don't even know Him. And I want to give my life to Christ for the first time. If that's you with nobody looking around, just me and you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But just so I know, I have somebody here to introduce to Jesus for the first time. If you're here with nobody, would you just put your hand up and put it right back down? Say, Andy, that's me. Just put your hand up, put it right back down. I need Jesus in my life, man. I need Jesus. Are you here? Are you here? Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, God spoke to me. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, Andy, I got some things going on in my life that I'd love some prayer, man. Listen, it'd be an honor to do that. Every head's bowed, every eye closed, and you just want somebody to pray for you. Can I pray for you? If that's you, would you just throw your hand up? If you're here today and you got some things going on in your life, come on. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you know each individual in this room. You know what's happening in their life. God, meet them where they are. Comfort them. God, a lot of times you use trials and tribulations to refine us, to make us more like you. And so, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, God, whatever's taking place, that, God, that you would make us in the middle of something that's difficult more like you. God, maybe for people that raise their hand and says, man, I need to get more plugged in. God, in Jesus' name, I pray you would convict people strong in the area of getting plugged into the body of Christ. For those who've been hurt by other churches, in Jesus' name, minister to them. Wrap them up. Love them. God, let them know that you're for them. And God, put people around them that love them. God, may we be a safe place. May we meet people where they are. God, I pray people would be drawn. Sinners would be drawn. Notorious sinners would be drawn to Emerge Church. And we would love them and meet them where they are. God, use us for your glory and for your honor. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up. In your name, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give Pastor Andy a hand.